I would like the ship to go. Now.
All right, well, let's get into it. Under the Twin Moons, on Saru's last mission as Captain Burnham's number one, the team ventures to a seemingly abandoned planet to hunt for what might be the greatest treasure in the galaxy. We'll see.
All right. So for everyone listening, have not seen episode number two, put us on pause. Go out, watch the episode, come back, because unusually I get to do, for the second time tonight, from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Red alert. All hands stand to battle station.
Gives you the right.
You cannot destroy an idea.
At ease before you spray.
No, let them swallow them all.
I'm just saying up front, if we want to give a high level view of this episode, this is my least favorite of the two, of course, because I feel like the first episode is just excellent. But I think there was a lot of things going on, a lot of beats in this episode that were very, very good. To me, it's like the transition episode, moving on to new things, the old to the new, and we can get into it. But Larry, what's your overall thoughts on this episode?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a perfect companion episode to what we had seen so far. You know what was really cool about this episode is this. You usually got the first episode that is the setup. It's almost like they did it in reverse here. The first episode was just action, 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 which this had a fair amount of action too, to be fair. But this episode was a lot of setup for things that are coming. So, yeah, I definitely like this episode, no doubt.
Cal Jones, what do you think, man?
You know, Larry, you and I are just like synced tonight, because that's what I was sitting here thinking, is often we complain about part one of something being lacking, and then you get into part two, and then it's so awesome. Reversing it like this, I enjoyed the first one a little bit more than the second one, partly because it was new. You know, I'm seeing something new again for after so many years. But for a build up and then a mini payoff as it kind of laid the groundwork for the rest of the season, I have no complaints about, you know, the episode that came second.
So we start the episode with Rayner, who, you know, I don't think what he did in this episode, on the previous episode on Kamal, was that bad. You know, he wanted to try to stop Locke and Maul because this is the Red Directive, of course, but he kind of gets admonished for it. We find out that because he has to go and talk to the leaders of the Federation, and he's kind of unrelenting in his attitude toward being like basically a cowboy, which I find very interesting, that way in his future, we still have people in the Federation because of the burn that had to function in a cowboy fashion. You know, they had to break the rules. They had to kind of do whatever they could to survive. And Rayner is a product of that.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I wonder if that was an intended or a subconscious nod to the original inception of what Roddenberry wanted it to be.
Oh, yeah. Rayner, he would have done great in TOS era. He would have fit right in. But for some reason now, they're reining in the wagon train to the stars mantra a little bit. And Rayner, he doesn't back down one bit. Interesting moment when he's in the conference with Vance, Relic, and Burnham, of course. And she's looking at him like, dude, why don't you calm down a little bit? they're going to put the screws to you. Go ahead, Larry.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I just wanted to draw attention, because sometimes we miss out on stuff, and I missed out on it the first time. Look at the wonderful job they did on that other person who was on the council.
Oh, yeah.
Go back and look at that work they did. I don't know, was that all practical effects or practical in some, but that was an amazing looking alien. I don't know what the species was, but I wanted to throw that out there, because sometimes we tend to ignore background characters like that who aren't don't speak. But I mean, they did a wonderful job. But yeah, he was getting his butt handed to him.
He was, man.
And he deserved it too. He you deserved. Think so? Oh, he absolutely
he's a deserved cowboy,
to get ringed. Because here's the thing. It's just like, you did something. And I was like, oh, man, you shouldn't have did that, man, on the down low. I think you did the right thing. But the way you went about it was wrong. And you just keep telling me, no, nah, I'm right, man. No, nah, I've been right, doing this for
30 years.
Okay. 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 I'm going to have to, you know, hit you with the book here. But, you know, they can't just, you think about their point of view. I love Rainer and I love what he did. But think about it. It's almost like you really, really admire what he did.
Yeah.
You really admire what he did. But at the same time, Rillick and Vance, they can't just let people run around making up their own rules, man.
Yeah. But you know, it's give and take, because honestly, the past shaped him to be who he is. He had to be a little gruff. You know, it kind of reminds me of Lorca during wartime. Now, of course, mm-hmm. we know that Lorca was gonna say bad that. Lorca. But he had kind of the same method of handling things. He was kind of a cowboy in the way he did things. So yeah, I really like him, but the way they bring him back, and let's get into it. But they seed us on very, very early on, or they pull us along very early on by saying that Saru is leaving to be an ambassador.
Yeah, so we knew he's stepping in.
Yeah, and going back to the theme of moving on, this was kind of his farewell tour, Saru's farewell tour. And he gets his one last mission with Burnham. You know, it's so crazy. We've seen their relationship from the very beginning. And they even mentioned it in this episode where we had Mutineer Burnham come onto the Discovery for the first time. And he was worried. I remember when he saw if you go back to that third episode, when he saw the ship leave the transport and he thought she was on it, he got kind of happy. But then she walked into the mess hall. So, yeah, very interesting to see their relationship go from mutineer to come back to the point here where they're on this last mission. And it's like, you know, if a band is about to quit touring, they go through all the cities one last time. And yeah, I thought this was a good episode for them to kind of reminisce. And as far as the mission on that planet, I could have gave or take. To me, it was okay, but it wasn't really that important. The important thing was more about the relationship and the transition for Saru. What did you think about Saru's farewell tour in this episode?
I enjoyed it, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we only got to see it in season one, and it was not great special effects. This show has done amazing special effects, but the Saru running was not great special effects in that first season. This, they did an amazing job. I mean, yeah. He was moving.
Yeah.
And it wasn't ridiculous looking either.
It wasn't.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed them down there in the firefight. And I know what people are going to say. I don't want to hear it. Good God, Spock and McCoy and everybody went. I mean, send the three most important people on the ship every time. That is Star Trek. We want the stars of the show to be doing the stuff. So, okay, I'm fine with it.
Hey, it's a rule's last day, man. Last day on the job. Let him have a little fun. Let him cut loose before he's behind a desk somewhere. What did Book say? He took a desk job with the Federation. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, as far as one last mission for these guys, I thought it was really well done. And we even get the term, which I guess, now did Jet Reno say this in an episode? I cannot remember. Action Saru.
No, I don't think she did. I think this was an off-screen thing.
Huh. I was hoping it was an episode, but yeah, they gave us a lot of back information to kind of put that in, this whole Action Saru thing. I thought it was kind of weird at first, but it works. It works. So I thought that was really cool.
It was funny. I thought it was funny just to show you they have their own little things between the crew.
Yeah.
Somebody said that was, if I'm mistaken, somebody said that was actually a fan thing.
Really?
And they picked up on
that. That's cool. And we even got to see him pull it out one last time in the episode. So, yeah, to see him come from being this scared Kelpian, scared of everything, fear, he lived by fear, to being to this point. Yeah, so freaking cool.
And somebody always was like, So those spikes he shoots out of his head can destroy drones. I don't know. Do you know how hard those spikes are? I don't. So it's Star Trek, man. If you can believe a ship can travel 4,000 times the speed of light, which they do to get where they're going, you can believe those spikes destroyed the drones. I'm sorry.
Let me pick a few comments right quick before we go on. Marge saying that Doug Jones must have taken off the hoof boots. But hey, I'm down for the graceful sway. So never take the hoof boots off. I'm down for the graceful sway. Wingray saying that they try to send some of the background bridge crew in episode one. How did that work out? Now, are we talking about
when Awoshikum
and Reese? They should have
done more. And I'm like, I really would love to see more people. But then more people means you got to set up more action. You got to write more dialogue. So I think they just kind of went and streamlined it.
Yeah, but you know what? I enjoyed seeing them, at least just for that little bit, seeing them get to go on their away mission with Burnham. I thought that was a lot of fun. And we also got to see, you know, we see this a lot in the TNG era, but when they left off the bridge, you had these replacements come in. So there's a bunch of people on the bridge that I knew, cool. I really liked. Now, I don't like that. What's the guy's name? Communications officer? I can never remember his name. Bryce. Yeah. The fact that he's not there kind of makes me sad. But
Did it right because he actually has a way bigger show, that actor that he's where he's like one of the main characters. I'm not sure when it's coming on. But that's why you're not going to see him.
Hopefully. Subspace Chatter is saying that season one episode is, I can't say that. Can you say that? Civis Persum Parabellum. Is that the episode when they were on, is it Pavo? And we get to see Saru running. I think that's that one.
Yeah.
With the tower. Yeah, that was a good episode too. I enjoyed that one. And he also says that it was pretty cool that director Doug Aronofsky briefly appears in the background. I did not see him, so that's a great shout out.
Yeah, he's in it.
Huh.
If you look at it again, you'll see him.
We get Adira them. I'm not sure what the pronoun is there, but we get Adira saying that they are glad that Gray is not there, and they've been able to live and be happy without them being there. And that's kind of interesting. Obviously setting something up coming later, because I think we know we're going to Trill. I think we've seen that in a preview or a clip or something. So definitely that's a shout out, you know, again, setting up what's coming forward. So I thought that was interesting.
I think one of the main things they were trying to say was, I'm cool being on my own. It's like she's saying, I still love him, but I'm cool being on my own. And I don't know how to feel about that, because remember, Gray was essentially in their head.
Yes.
You know, so even though before Gray was brought back, essentially Adira had all of Gray's memories up until that point. Still does.
Yeah, that's easy to forget. So that's pretty interesting. See how that plays out. I also want to mention the dark comms, which is like the dark web. I got a kick out of that, dude. That was hilarious.
I'm using the dark comms. I said, seriously.
Oh, man. What do we think about the connection of our Cleveland Booker to Cleveland Booker IV Book's mentor, and also the inherent connection to Maul being her daughter? I mean, the previous Cleveland Booker's daughter.
Yeah, not like that. Did not like it. And I'm going to tell you why. Can't we just have random people in the universe?
No.
Everybody got to be connected to everybody. Say, hey, who's this guy? He starred in Starfleet. Well, his mom was in the other ship, but his dad served under him.
Yeah.
So it gets diluted. I did not like, she could have just been another courier. She didn't have to be somebody that he knew. which I do love that they didn't go too far. I thought they were going to say she was Book's daughter or something.
That would have been interesting.
Or a past lover or something. I'm like this because he's saying, I don't know her, but I know of her.
Yes.
That I can live with.
Yes. Honestly, for me, I thought it was okay. Now, I hope it plays out into something very interesting. You know, there's going to be a further tie somewhere, of course, but I hope there's some piece of the puzzle we don't see that's going to make it all make sense. Right now, I think I'm on your side just a little bit more. It felt too on the nose, but if well done, it could be interesting down the line. So I'm here to see what they do for it. Again, we're only in the second episode. So, you know, if they can wrap it up to something really cool, I think I'm okay with it.
Subspace Chatter's got a cool one. Are you excited about returning to Trill in episode 3? I am. Very much so. Because the last time we was on Trill, I cried. Literally cried on that episode.
Yeah, now we're getting the deets here. Subspace Chatter is saying we're going to see Dr. Culber like we've never seen him before in that episode. I can't wait for it.
Because I know Gray's going to be there. Because he went back to help. So we're going to see Gray, which is awesome.
Yeah, in that preview that we got at the end of episode 1, there's a scene where Culber has like this rushing light coming beside his face. So that might be something we'll see in the next episode. I'm down for it. But yeah, going back to Trill, that's going to be a great thing.
Somebody said they love Doug Jones. Go ahead.
I was going to pick up Wynn Grace's comment right here. It says, I would like the connection better if they discovered this first and then they brought in Book to help, not for him to find out after being on board. Yeah, that would have flowed a lot better than after the fact. Oh, I have a connection. So yeah, the order operations there could have made this a little bit more palatable.
Yep.
Which comment did you want to pick up, Larry? Did you mention one?
No, I was just going to say that the whole thing about him finding out that she's kin to a friend. Again, that's such a trope. It's like you're on a starship and you know how big starships are, right?
Yeah.
They're huge. So it's just like you saying, oh yeah, that's that guy I went to the academy with.
Yeah.
The thought that y'all are going to meet in a fleet as big as Starfleet is probably pretty...
It's slow, but then, I mean, I've had situations. I've been in a totally different city and meet somebody from my high school. I'm like, what the heck are you doing here? Randomly in a mall. So it does happen. It does happen.
I will say there's two dudes I knew who were on an aircraft carrier and they were on there for 2 years, you know, rotate, but they were on there 2 years and didn't know that each other was on there.
Okay. Good point. Good point. Wingrace is saying that he was excited to go back to Beta Zed. They did tease it. They teased it. Oh, how dare they do that to us and don't take us there.
Anytime we talking about, oh, we going to Beta Zed, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it would be nice. It would be nice. I would definitely love to go there. Subspace mentioning, who do you think Dr. Kovich is and what are your hopes for the finale? We've kind of covered this before that, my hopes for the finale is that they leave it in a place where, it's not, they don't put a finality on everything. All these people can come back years later for a movie or whatever, if they want to, just go off into the sunset and not end anything, but still be on a ship, still be going on a mission, but, you know, have a slight finality, but don't close the door completely is what I'm saying. As far as Kovich, I have no idea who the heck is this guy.
I know who Kovich is.
Oh, you, oh, and, do and, tell, sir. Do tell.
And yes, that is Wesley Crusher. Remember, he can move through time.
Oh,
and
man.
You don't know how old he is by this time, man. He's moving back and forth through time. Yep, Kovich is Wesley Crusher. I said it first.
Okay, if you pull that out, you are the prophet and you should be heralded around the world.
In my head canon, it's Wesley Crusher. No, I don't know who Kovich is. You know what? And I like it. I like it that way. Yeah. We don't need to know everything. He's very mysterious. I like it. We don't even know what his title is still.
Besides doctor?
He's Dr. Kovich. But he carried... did you ever watch Firefly?
Yes, I did. I love Firefly.
Okay, we both did. And God rest the late Ron Glass, who played Shepard.
Shep, yeah.
But this COVID is like Shepard. Like, there's a lot more there. Remember Shepard kept, would tell him, and he whips out that ID card. It's like, oh crap. It's same thing with Kovich. Kovich is that guy that can walk in a room, kind of like the other guy, agent, Chiwetel's character, walk in and they'd be like, I don't hold a rank. I don't have to. Like, he's in charge. Whenever he's in a room, to me, Kovich is on the same level as Vance and the president.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He is. He's definitely up there. Like, there's mention in the chat from Full Woodify, if I'm saying it right, that he thought Kovich was a bad guy. We talked about that all the time, that Kovich was a bad guy. But no, he's just mysterious. He's just mysterious.
That's a good thought. I mean, he could have ulterior motives. We don't know. Yeah, that would actually be cool.
I don't know. It's not likely at this point. I'm cool with him being mysterious good guy who...
Well, they don't want to fall into this trope where we have a person who's a good guy and we think they're a good guy, and just for story's sake, they decide, oh, let's make him a heel turn.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work out. We've seen that happen before, and it does not work well.
So we're going to wrap. We're going to give our ratings. But first, I want to pick up Wynn Grace's comment real quick, saying that my out there idea is that Kovich is from the post-apocalyptic timeline where the Federation failed, and he's trying to guide things in a better direction through any means he can. Kind of like that.
Oh my God, leave it to Wynn Grace to come up with an actual thing plausible. That sounds plausible. Like,
yeah,
it makes our joke. That actually sounds like it could be true.
Not only that, it's kind of awesome. It's kind of awesome.
That would be cool. Wynn Grace, you need to be writing some of this down, man. You need to be making some money.
Put them on the writing team, man.
Yeah, don't be giving away stuff on here for free.
So Space is also saying he always thought Vance was a baddie. Even in the novels or comics after the show finishes, I'm convinced he's going to turn out to be a bad guy. We had similar thoughts about Vance. He was so mysterious. But no, he has a family. He has a family somewhere that he goes off to see. So yeah, we're going to end it there. Guys, let's go ahead and get ratings. If you have a rating for this episode out of 5, please drop it in the chat. Larry, out of 5, how would you rate this episode?
I got to go 4.5 on my boy, you know, Rainer. 4.5 Rainer's being pissed off.
Oh, well, did we even mention he's a new first officer? Excuse
me?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, I think we kind of brushed over a little bit. But yeah, he's
Rainer's
the new first officer.
Just, and it's so gonna everybody's be, cool with that.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for it.
I got me so excited. I can't wait to see the exchange.
It got me so excited because Burnham needs someone who is going to put up a front. Well, not a front. Who's going to be she needs her Riker. And
going to challenge her.
Yes. Yes. And I think it's going to be fun, man. I hate this is the last season, but oh, that got me real excited. That's my highlight of the episode. And I'm going to give this 4.25 moons out of 5. In the chat, we have Retin giving this a 5 out of 5. We have Subspace Chatter giving this a 4. Not as good as episode 4. This man has seen the future. I'm so jelly right now. He's seen the screeners. So he's giving us something to wait for with episode 4. So he's saying it's not as good as episode 4, so I can't wait for that. Guys, thank you for joining in. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun having you guys here. And we will be back next week live as we try to hash out each of these episodes. So we have less to talk about next week, only one episode, which is a good thing in my opinion.
Yes.
But it's definitely been a lot of fun. I'm going to give a shout out. If you have a YouTube channel and you're in the chat, please let me know down here, because I'm going to give a shout out to my boy Wynn Grace and Tasha from After Snap Movies and TV, who's not here right now, but they're regulars. And we love connecting with them about Star Trek. And now that I've done a review, I can go back and watch Wynn Grace's and I can watch Tasha's reviews of these episodes. I wanted to watch earlier, but I try to come in unsullied as possible. But yeah, definitely go out and watch, because that's what I'm doing. I'm going out and watch these reviews that these guys have done. great work. But yeah, we're going to end here, guys. Thank you for joining us. It's been a lot of fun. And until next time, guys, live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening to the Discussing Trek podcast. For more information, go to discussingtrek.com/subscribe.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.
Can I say that, like, shut up, Wesley? I can just go, shut up, Clarence?